Hi everyone, we are the Gooders, people who do good. We help people dealing with life challenges and empower them to help others. Today we are hosting Kelly Reinhardt, warrior for mental health and founder of BCC. This podcast is brought to you by CirclesUp.com, the go-to place for life challenges like grief, divorce, cancer, etc. In every episode, we speak with an inspiring person who moderates an audio chat room for people dealing with the same life challenge. We will tell their story and the story of the members of their groups. Today, we are talking about loss of a loved one, and 46,000 people every year in the United States commit suicide. That's a big number. So, Kelly, thank you so much for being with us, and I'm really looking forward to hear your story and the support that you provide to others. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on here.
So let's start with your story. You've been so active in supporting other people, but let's start from the beginning. What made you be so active?
Absolutely. My journey really began in 2017 after I lost my middle sister, Carrie, to a completed suicide on February 20th, 2017. And she really was my sister, my go-to sister. I grew up with her the most out of five girls. And although I had previously lost two cousins, one to suicide when she was 16, and her brother actually a couple years later to substance use, I wasn't as close to them as my sister. And so it wasn't, I guess, there was grieving, but not as much, right? They were kind of distant cousins. But when my sister passed, it really, really hit me hard. And I didn't know what I was doing with my life. And the first year, I think I was really just surviving. I wasn't really truly living. And my coping mechanism was just to keep going, 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 going. I was busy, busy, busy. I had a newborn and I just had to keep going. But ultimately, I ended up hitting a virtual brick wall, as I call it, and something had to change. And that's when I knew that I needed to take care of myself. I went to counseling. I took a leave of absence from my corporate job. And then I found this really amazing community that supported me and lifted me up and helped me move through the trauma that I was holding on to. And that's what really sparked my nonprofit, because I knew if it could be that powerful for me, then I want to be able to help, even if it's just one person at a time. But we have to start having those hard conversations about suicide or substance abuse or cancer or all the things that people die by, because we all process it differently. And it's important to have that tribe or that community around you, so that you don't feel so alone.
Wow. Can you take us back to a moment where you realize that your life has changed? Because you shared that, you know, you moved on and continued doing, but can you share with us the moment that you realize that, you know, things have changed?
Absolutely. I can like pinpoint the moment. I went to this event, actually. It was a 3-day event, and I thought it was going to be like rah-rah, motivational, and I was going to be like pumped up. Well, the first day, I literally was crying the entire day. And I was like, what in the heck did I get myself into? And the reason was I found it's called neuro-linguistic programming, but it's ultimately, NLP. And we did a process. And it was going back to the day I was born. And it was centered around my sister. I was able to forgive her and forgive myself, which was something that I had no idea that I needed to do, but it was so empowering and impactful for me that it led me into wanting to just learn more about NLP. And what I found, because I went to another event after that, I actually had paired two traumas together. My son had experienced seizures, and his second episode of seizures was on the day of my sister's celebration of life. So I literally had paired two traumas together. And when I was able to really do more deep diving into this type of therapy, I ultimately was able to change that and remove the fear, which is what I was living in. And I changed it into curiosity. And for me, I'm one of those skeptics that I'm like, ah, this can't really work and it can't be that fast. But I found that it was. And for me, that was the pivotal moment of my life was, again, forgiving her, forgiving myself, and then also being able to shift and change that fear into something positive, which was curiosity for me. And that ultimately really helped me on my journey through healing. And then also starting my nonprofit has been a huge part of my healing also.
So you reached a point where you wanted to help others, right? Can you tell us about that moment?
Yeah, I was actually working with another nonprofit, and she was more focused on the adolescent or teen risky behaviors, whereas my sister was an adult. And so I thought that it would be really cool to potentially partner together. She would work on she would deal with the youth, and I would focus more on the adults. And that partnership didn't end up really panning out, which was totally fine. But I knew that if it could be helpful for me to have this community of incredible people that surround me that, again, lift me up and don't drag me down, then I knew there was something powerful about that. And that's when BCC Evolution really was born, because I had to do something. I didn't know what it was going to be. And it kind of was like this passion project for 3.5 years. And I kind of did this and I did that and I did this, and I wasn't really sure where I was going. But last year I quit my corporate job and jumped in full time. And it's really been transformational over the past year of what do we really do? And education as far as mental health and suicide is where I have landed, because one, we don't talk about it enough. Two, we don't support people enough. And three, it just needs to be that conversation that we have. And so how do we educate people? And that's when everything really started growing from there, because education is key. If I don't know how to help you, like I didn't know how to help my sister, then we're going to continue to lose lives. Like you said, the number just keeps going up with suicides every single year. I understand there's more people in the world and we have more access to media and all of those things, which now we have the resources and the tools to be able to understand. But it's one of those things that can be preventable if we understand how to help somebody and show them that they're not so alone. And that's really been my goal. And what it's really manifested into is really education around mental health and suicide, because at least what I've found is that a mental health challenge, whether it's for a moment or for a lifetime, tends to lead people to complete the act of suicide. And so if we can have that hard conversation, then we can ultimately start saving lives.
Yeah. So can you share with us like two insights that you had, or two things that you BCC kind of like educating people that can help them when one of their loved ones is dealing with mental health?
Yeah, we do multiple levels of education. So mental health first aid is the one that I initially started with, and we started that back in 2019. And one of our very first classes that we had a mom and a grandma of a 9-year-old that had just completed suicide. And that was my first eye-opening experience of, oh my gosh, a 9-year-old can complete suicide. This is something we need to talk about. This is something that we need to get educated about. And it's been one of those, every single time we have a class, there's so many people that have had, whether they know somebody close to them or they are in the professional space for mental health, there's always stories. And oftentimes, because we get all the data from, they do evaluations. And a lot of times what I'm told is that this information is not something that you learn in college or high school or any of those places. And even I taught a group of nurses and they're like, we haven't even, like half of this information we don't even talk about. And so I know, at least personally for me, is that I didn't understand what my sister was going through before she passed. And maybe if I had these tools or resources or skills, maybe I would have acknowledged or seen the signs and symptoms that she was exhibiting, because I can look now in retrospect and pinpoint the moment where she started unraveling. And those are the skills that I'm giving to other people, is how, what do I say to somebody? If they come to me and they're like, I'm depressed, or I'm sad, or I'm lonely, or I'm suicidal, what do we say to them? And then what do we do with the information that they give to us? And a lot of it goes back to listening, simply listening. It can also be asking hard questions like, are you going to kill yourself, or are you suicidal? Those are questions that we can ask people and get the answers and responses from. And so that's what I have just learned over time, is being armed with the information and those skills, then you at least can get them into the professional help that they potentially need, and or just be that listening ear that they need, because nobody else around them is willing to do that for them.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds like an inspiring. And also, you know, I shared with you before recording that I started Circles being contribute to my mother, and it's a way for us, at least for me, to, you know, to almost keep in touch with my mother in a way, building circles, as she's like part of this, everyone knows her. It's part of me memory. It's like part of her memory. So it's amazing. And I wonder if it's the same for you.
Yeah, I first heard your story too when we got on the platform, and I just think it's amazing that you've created this environment to keep your mom and her spirit alive, which, yeah, totally. That's exactly why with BCC Evolution, although whenever I say BCC Evolution, they're like, that has nothing to do with mental health or suicide. And I'm like, I know. But I also transformed it into Because Carrie Cared. That's where the BCC and the evolution is, we're ever evolving. But also it's been this healing journey. And the more and more people that I can talk to, and more people that come back to me and say, hey, I had a friend come to me and say that they were depressed or suicidal or whatever it was, and I remember back to the class that you taught me, and I used my skills. Like, that's really, really cool to be able to get that feedback. And it showcases that I am continuing my sister's journey, which is something that I wanted to do, because she taught CPR classes and was a caregiver for a paraplegic. And so I always knew I wanted to do something in the health space. I just didn't know what it was. And that's when, like, mental health first aid really dropped on my lap. And I was like, yeah, that really aligns. And now I'm able to share her journey, her experience. And I do that through talking on podcasts and on the stage and all those things. And it was really hard the first couple of years to even speak her name. But now it's such an honor to be able to share her story.
And now you're also active on the Circles platform and you're leading rooms. Can you share with us a little bit about the room that you are leading? But also, if you can share one or two stories of members that joined your room, and like what their story and what do you think they got out of being part of your room?
Absolutely. The room that I have been leading is called Never Alone Through Grief and Loss, because we all travel the journey of grief and loss very differently. And it doesn't necessarily have to be related to suicide or a mental health challenge or any, you know, it can be anything, really. And the main point of why I wanted to open this one is just allow a safe space for people to come, and whether they want to cry or they want to tell their story or not tell their story. And I, to be honest, it's been somewhat challenging for me. And I'm going to say this just because I do coaching and all different things, and I educate people, but having the circle room, it's been a really amazing experience for me, because we don't just necessarily have people in there that their spouse or family or whomever has died by suicide or a mental health challenge. It's everybody across the board, and it's open to everybody. And I know that I have had one woman that she has come back every single time that our room is open, and she lost her spouse to substance use. And she said that she doesn't have anyone to talk to. I mean, her family and friends are trying, but they're not exactly sure what to say. And a lot of times, unfortunately, in society, we're like, we'll get over it or move on. Like, those are the words that we say to people through grief and loss. And my whole point of having this room is to let people know that it's your experience. And you're going to travel through it how you need to travel. There's not a book or a paper that can tell you how to process grief or loss. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty out there, but it's really going to be your experience, right? And that's what I've been trying to communicate, and just opening the space of listening. And I know it's been cool to see the getting the positive feedback every single week on the platform. And we've had another woman who we've had a lot of women in our in our room, but we've also had some guys. So, but some people are at different spaces in their journey through grief or loss too. And so the one woman that I was just speaking about, like it literally has only been about a month or two. And then I had another woman that she's more in the like 2 to 3 year period. And one thing that she brought up, because what I try to do is ask everyone to support each other and maybe give like tips or techniques that have helped you in the past. And hers was creating a list. So it could be the list of, I brushed my teeth today, check. I took a shower, check. It's those like simple, small things as you go through grief of being able to do, because it gets really overwhelming when you're like, I'm laying on this couch, I don't want to move, but I know I need to go take a shower, and I don't know how long it's been since I've taken a shower. So create a small list and just check them off one by one. So I thought that was a really, really good tool that she offered to the group. And then I've had other, there was another woman that was in there that shared her loss of her partner. And it's just that space of, I just need somebody to listen, and I need somebody to care about what I'm going through and not tell me how to process it or not tell me to get over it. And even though it's 2 or 3 years in, people around her just still don't understand why she's still processing the grief of losing her partner. And what I say is it's not about them, it's about you. And so how can we just offer this safe space for people to come in and maybe find their tribe and maybe find the support that they've been lacking in their everyday life? So it's been really, really cool, empowering, and impactful, even on myself, going into these rooms and understanding what people need and how I can play a small role in that.
Yeah, I found it. I'm always amazed by the, like you said, it's that when listening to someone else's story, you feel relief and you get hope, which is amazing. I think that provides hope, and that's what we're doing here. We want to have a safe place for people that are dealing with grief, and to know that they are not alone and hear other people's stories as well. I want to thank you so much for, first of all, sharing your story. I think you're an inspiration to us and to a lot of people. And thank you for the support that you're providing on the Circles platform and outside of Circles platform. And keep on doing this work. I think that there's so many lives that are changing. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for an amazing platform too, and bringing me on here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.